Welcome to another edition of Believe in FSU Basketball. This is your one and only Nick Andre, and I appreciate you guys for tuning in. Once again, thank you to everyone who has shown all the love and support throughout the first two episodes. They've definitely been a blast. I'm glad that you guys have enjoyed it, and the content's only going to continue to keep coming. I've enjoyed being able to break down both basketball programs, talk about their strong points, their weak spots, and you know, we're going to just continue that and just roll with that momentum. So let's start with the first topic. We're going to talk about the men's team who went to the wonderful city of Atlanta to go face the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets on Saturday. Unfortunately, came out with a loss. They lost 85-76, which put their conference record to 9-9 overall and 15-14 overall record. This performance, I think, They needed this performance, I will say. I think that this is another bad loss to have, especially as the season is winding down. And as the conference tournament is coming around, you want to try your best to get the possible best seed as possible. And especially coming off of a big win on Tuesday against NC State, I felt like they could have found a way to just capitalize off of that momentum on Saturday on the road. But unfortunately, you know, give credit to Georgia Tech for such a good game. And it was only right that Georgia Tech was going to come out, you know, motivated and, you know, and just ready to play. These two teams both met on January 3rd, and Georgia Tech did not have a good offensive performance. They scored 19 points in the entire first half of that game on January 3rd. And on this in this matchup on Saturday, they scored 19 points through the first half of, or like through the first 10 minutes of the first half. So they were locked in and they were loaded. You got to love what they were able to provide on offense. You know, the three-point shooting was just immaculate. Then on top of that, the ball movement was just spectacular. Being able to find players in the pick and roll, being able to find players, you know, off of backdoor cuts. But even though they had a really good first half, you got to give credit to Florida State for just staying afloat in that game. I felt like Florida State did have some great defensive moments. They had about 6-7 steals in the first half, and he scored 9 points off a turnover. So you can't get mad at a production like that. Another thing that really stood out to me as well was being able to get paint touches down low. I love the fact that they went down to Cam Korn early in the game. He was able to establish position inside, you know, being able to score underneath the basket, being able to play and pick and roll. Another thing as well was, you know, towards the end of the first half, like midway through the first half, we saw Darren Green find a way to get going offensively. And that was one of the big keys, especially with Georgia Tech running their zone coverage, was, you know, you had a guy like Jalen Worley or Jameer Watkins drive the middle. And then as they're trying to drive off dribble penetration, they're going to be able to clog that lane. They're going to try to clog that lane as much as they can in that zone. So that led to open opportunities for Darren Green Jr. to just step into those three corners and just being able to knock them down. So that was really big. So overall, Florida State kept the game close in the first half, but you still felt like Georgia Tech had that momentum, and it was only a matter of time before they were going to able to capitalize off of that and just be able to run away with the lead. And that's exactly what they did in the second half. I think Florida State came off like, or actually take that back, both teams came out really flat in the second half. You know, it took both teams a while to really find that rhythm, especially after a really good shooting first half from both teams. But Georgia Tech just continued to just dominate on both ends of the court. You know, they were just more so relentless in the second half than Florida State. And I think they just out-hustled them and just outsmart them on literally every aspect of the game. They led by as much as 17 points. They got great production from Bay, Ndongo, Nathan George, Kyle Sturtevant, and just, you know, just an abundance of other guys too. So like I said, you know, they had a really bad offensive performance in that matchup on January 3rd. So it was only right that they were going to come out more assertive. You know, Damon Stoudemire is one of the best coaches, in my opinion, in the ACC. So, you know, he was going to make sure that he had his team prepared for this matchup. But for Florida State, you know, especially after getting a big one against NC State and then also being able to take care of business against Georgia Tech earlier in the season, I felt like they could have found a way to at least come out on top of this matchup and had a better second half, especially with how well they've been in second halves as a recent, you know, being able to weather storms and just being able to stay disciplined defensively and just finding ways to just figure out how to close games. But unfortunately, that didn't happen. So there's two more games for Florida State before we go into conference tournament. So we have Pitt tonight on Tuesday night, and then we have Miami at home on Saturday. They got to capitalize and get those two wins. I know that in the past, you know, Pitt has been able to come out strong against Florida State, but even though I want to say Florida State has won the last few matchups, so, you know, so obviously they have some momentum, you know, coming from last season, but going on the road, I think is going to be really important, or staying on the road, at least, I think it's going to be really important that they figure out a way to come out on top. You know, I think if they can just figure out how to stay disciplined defensively, you know, being able to like show that versatility of, you know, the switching and just being able to guard one through five, I think that they'll be good. You know, Pitt is one of the, like, more so one of the bottom teams in the ACC, but also, I mean, that also doesn't mean anything because, you know, the ACC is a conference, even though, you know, it's pretty much one-dimensional with the Blue Bloods like Duke and North Carolina, but everybody else is pretty much, you know, it fluctuates, you know, that whole ranking. So Florida State should find a way to close the season on a high note. And then we talk about Miami. We got a big win against Miami in early January. And Miami's going to fight. Miami is going to fight. And they showed that in the second half of that matchup that we played against them in South Beach. So, you know, that's going to be a tough matchup as well. Also, by the way, for those who are in Tallahassee, I will be there too. You know, so if you see the guy, if you happen to just see me, definitely don't be scared. You know, say what's up, man. You know, I might be able to, you know, have some conversations about hoop or anything. So I would definitely be there Saturday. I just wanted to make that known, you know, for those who will be at the Tucker Center on Saturday. But these last two matchups are really huge for Florida State, especially as they want to close out conference play and then head into the ACC tournament. And that's a good transition, you know, to look at the ACC tournament. So I mentioned a bit that Florida State is 9-9 in the conference. So they're exactly at ninth place. So luckily they will be able to have a single bye, but it all depends on, you know, on what happens, you know, between now and Saturday. So last year wasn't really good, or I wouldn't say it was a bad showing, but they ended up losing a nail biter to Georgia Tech 61-60 in the ACC tournament. But this could be a different story. Potentially, if we do lock in the ninth seed, we could play NC State again, which I want to say they are the 10th seed, I want to say. So, excuse me. So, obviously, we've already shown that we can beat this team. But NC State is going to make those adjustments anyway. You know, they're a really good shooting team. And on top of that, DJ Burns is probably not going to have another scoreless performance, or even just having zero rebounds in general. So, like, DJ Burns is going to look to put his fingerprints on this entire game. So, or if it does happen, you know, potentially if it does happen. So, the ACC tournament, you know, we have to figure out how to get some momentum heading into that matchup or heading into the whole tournament. And if we can figure out a way to just get some momentum and then just head into the tournament on a high note and just be able to capitalize off of that, I think that'll be good for them. And this team is capable of it. This team is definitely capable of it. This isn't last season's team where they finished 9-23 and everybody pretty much knew that this team was a wash. This is an entirely different team. I know that this team has had their ups and downs. It's been a roller coaster year where they look like they could be one of the top contenders in the ACC. And then they turn around and have like maybe a 3 or 4 game losing streak. And now you're like, dang, we can't believe in these guys, but anything can happen. That's the beauty of March as a whole, not even just March Madness, but conference tournaments as well. Anything can happen. So for Seminole fans who may not have high hopes in the basketball team, keep those hopes alive, man, because this is a team. This is a really talented team. This is a really talented, versatile team that can make things happen. I mean, hell, we saw what they did against Miami. Even, you know, playing up against Duke, you know, being able to match up against Duke, being able to match up against North Carolina. Hell, we actually went to North Carolina in December and held a 13-14 point lead before we ended up blowing it. So anything can happen, especially in the ACC where, you know, like from rankings or from standings 3 to whatever, you know, it's pretty much a gamble. So the biggest goal is take care of business Tuesday night against Pitt. That's important. You know, look ahead of that game first. Definitely take advantage on the road. Get a good road win. It's going to be the last road game of the regular season. Get a good road win and then come back home, close out the season this Saturday. We face a rival in the Miami Hurricanes and be able to take care of that one. So if we can get to 11-9 in the conference, that'll be huge. But everything focuses on the rest of this week as the men's team heads into conference tournament. Now let's dive into the women's team, who got a really big win against Clemson Sunday afternoon. That was a wild finish, you know, and I'm definitely going to break down all of that. But first, before we do, we have to acknowledge the seniors. Senior day was really important for both Sarah Bajetti and Alexis Tucker. shout out to Alexis Tucker. You know, she came here for her final season. She played her first few years at Texas Tech, then also went to UC Santa Barbara. And just being able to transfer here to Tallahassee was really, really incredible. She, like, her impact was really important. Tremendous size. You know, she has an offensive bag that I don't think a lot of people may have seen a lot, but there was some times on several occasions where she would show that, you know, being able to put the ball on the floor, being able to score in the mid-range, being able to score beyond the three-point line, averaged around 5 points a game, 3 rebounds throughout the season, started in 15 games this year. So she started half the season. One of her highlight games was early in the season against Tennessee when she scored 17 points, and she was really huge in that matchup. So, and even though she lost her starting spot to Snoop Turnage, she still played her role, you know, off the bench, you know, being able to be a key veteran, you know, on this team, being able to make good defensive plays, being able to make shots on offense. So give kudos to Alexis Tucker, man. I'm really proud of, you know, what she was able to display throughout this regular season. And that's only going to continue as the conference tournament is underway. Same thing with Sarah Bajetti. I can't speak enough on how much I love Sarah Bajetti. Sarah is one person that you just love and hate at the same time. You know, you love her relentlessness. You love her tenacity. Sometimes she kind of irks me a little bit because sometimes her shot selection can be very questionable. But at the end of the day, you love what she brings to the table. And she played one season, I mentioned before, at Arizona State. And then playing for Florida State was just like the perfect situation for her. She only played 4 or 5 games, I believe, in her first season of Florida State. But just being able to come back and just still being able to make an impact throughout the rest of her career. She became a full-time starter last season as an actual senior. And then, of course, you know, now as a redshirt senior, she was just able to capitalize off of that. Averaged 7 points, 2.5 rebounds during her career at Florida State. And obviously everybody knows, I mean, throughout the season, you know, if you've been watching Florida State throughout the course of the season, everybody knows the infamous game against Virginia Tech this year. You know, this is the reigning ACC champions. They come into Tallahassee to face the Noles, and Sarah Bajetti just had a spectacular performance. 31 points. She had 14 points in the first quarter alone. So that showed you that she was going to be in for a really good performance. And not even to mention, she had a really great performance in the game before that against North Carolina. So Sarah, even though obviously Taniya Latson is the best scorer on this team, and then you can possibly say, you know, Mario Gordon and KK Timpson, but Sarah Bajay, you know, well, she's able to provide such a huge impact both defensively and offensively. It plays such a huge role, man. So shout out to the seniors. I'm really proud of, you know, what they were able to accomplish during their time at Seminoles, and, you know, whatever endeavors that they have, you know, beyond college. You know, I'm really happy for them, you know, and hey, myself and all of Noel fans look to support them along the way. Honestly, one thing that I can say is I don't know what Sarah Bajetti's plans are, you know, possibly playing basketball beyond college. But if you ask me, I think Sarah Bajetti could be on a WNBA roster personally. She may not be a starter. She may not be one of the top scorers on the team, but her presence, especially what she brings to the table defensively and just the energy that she provides on the floor, she could be a great player in the second unit. She could be absolutely huge, but I don't know exactly if she does have plans to play like beyond college, but if she does, Sarah, if you're listening, enter your name into the WNBA draft. I think that she would get picked up by anybody, because I've said it before. Sarah is one of the best on ball and perimeter defenders in the country, not just on the team, not just in the ACC, in the entire country. And I feel like she could be able to capitalize off of that if she decides to go pro. But that's all based on her decision. I have no say in what her decision would be, you know, after college. But I would love to see her play in the pros personally. But let's dive into the game. Let's dive into Sunday's game against Clemson. They bounced back after a poor loss against Louisville, and they won 82-79 in OT. I was there. I was literally right behind the bench, and it was a fun matchup from start to finish. And it was wild. It was a wild game overall. Florida State got off to a really good start. The first possession, Sarah Bajetti got a drive to the basket, you know, got an easy layup. I love what they were able to provide defensively. There was a play as well where Taniya ended up intercepting, getting into the passing lane, forced a turnover. Omaria Gordon's pushing the ball on a break, and then they find Snoop Turnage in the corner and knocked down the three. So they got off to a really good start. But also give credit to Clemson as well, because Clemson was able to utilize their offensive weapons, you know, being able to find spots in the mid-range, you know, being able to run and pick and roll coverage, being able to find those finals driving lanes and just being able to attack the basket. So they ended up getting themselves back into the game and actually took the lead to end the first quarter. And then that momentum continued, you know, throughout the second quarter as well. Deshaunay Harris was really huge in this matchup. Amari Robinson, Ruby Whitehorn, you know, they were really huge in this matchup overall. And one of the things that, you know, you got to give them credit for is just, you know, taking advantage of the star players being in foul trouble. Taniya Latson had 3 fouls in the first half, and she only scored 4 points in the first half because she was in foul trouble. So when the opposing team's top scorer is in foul trouble, and now the team's going to have to figure out how to run the offense through others, you got to take full advantage of that. And Clemson was able to do that. So, you know, for the most part, Clemson had momentum throughout the first half. Omaria ended up hitting like a bank shot at the buzzer to end the first half, you know, tying the game at 31. But overall, you know, I mean, even though the game was tied, I knew that Florida State had to make some adjustments on both ends of the court, not even just offensively, but defensively as well. I felt like they could have found a way to just communicate better on that end of the floor, you know, especially on switches and just being able to just rotate a lot more effectively. And we ended up seeing that, you know, towards the end of the game, third quarter, Clemson continued that momentum. And then also in the fourth quarter, you know, they held a double digit lead. I want to say they led by as much as 12 points, I want to say. But at the end of the day, this is why I love this women's team so much, because they fight. They're going to fight and they're going to crawl their way back into the game at times. In Louisville, we saw a small sample of that early in the fourth quarter. You know, they kind of got some momentum and then kind of try to cut into the lead, but it was far too little, too late. And even in other performances as well, I remember they played against Stanford. You know, they tried to fight back into that game. They played against UCLA. They were down big, but they also tried to fight into that game. So one thing about Brooke Wyckoff's team is they're going to fight, and they definitely did that. And the number one thing was getting stops defensively. Once they were able to protect the basket, prevent easy opportunities inside, close out on the three-point shooters, that's when we saw a total shift change within the team. Taniya Latson got going, you know, like when Taniya's driving, getting to the basket, you know, really, really being able to find her rhythm, that's what's going to set the tone for the team. So with her being able to do that and just, you know, and just be, like continuing to find high percentage shots and just continuing to attack inside, that was one of the leading factors. KK Timpson was huge under the paint, you know, getting huge block shots, but also just being able to switch effectively, you know, preventing easy opportunities, preventing those driving lanes, you know, for Clemson's guards. So it was just a momentum shifter, you know, towards the end of the game. And the game ended up going into overtime. Sarah Bajetti hit a huge three-pointer in the right wing, you know, being able to tie that game. And it's crazy, too, because I want to say, like, a possession or two before that, Sarah had a really bad shot. And that's what I mean when I say it's like you love her and you hate her at the same time, because she can take such bad shots, but then she'll come back and hit a huge one. And that's what happened against Clemson down the stretch of that game. She hit a huge three-pointer to tie the game at 71. And then Clemson got the ball, you know, ended up, you know, going down the court, ended up taking a shot. They missed it. So now I want to say it was Taniya Latson that got the rebound. And there's about like 25, 26 seconds remaining. So there's no shot clock. And the game is tied at 71. Me personally, I'm watching from the sidelines. I'm thinking that Florida State's going to run the clock, try to run something in their half-court offense, and figure out a way to, you know, to get a good bucket. Did that happen? Unfortunately not. Taniya got off to the races, and give credit to one of the Clemson players for being able to take that charge, and then boom, Taniya gets the offensive foul. She ends up fouling out of the game. As much as I love Taniya Latson, and I'm always going to give her a praise, I got to criticize her as well, because you got to understand the situation in that play. You know, like I said, shot clock is off. The game is tied. You guys don't need to rush and get a shot. Y'all don't need to rush and get a quick shot, because let's say, for instance, that Taniya does get to the basket and hurry up and get an easy lay-in. Now Florida State's up 73-71. But there's still like 18, 17 seconds remaining. So now you're giving Clemson a lot of time to adjust, run something in their half-court set, and find a good shot. So now you're giving them way too much time to really get everything together. So, but also, Taniya had 4 fouls as well. And when you have 4 fouls and you're the star player, you got to understand the situation. You got to understand that you can't be as aggressive as you want to be. And we all know that Taniya loves to be aggressive, and she loves to take those high percentage shots inside. She loves to be relentless when attacking the basket. Same thing with Sarah Bajetti. Tania Lasson loves it as well. But you got to understand the situation there. So now there's a little bit of a worry, because now the game goes into overtime, and now we don't have the team's star, the team's leading scorer. What are we going to do now? Who are we going to look to? And that goes to number four, the senior, Sarah Bajetti. After hitting a huge three-pointer to tie the game in regulation, she hit another huge three-pointer early in overtime to put them ahead 74-71. So that was huge as well. That was really huge as well. And even KK Timpson ended up getting some touches. And that's why I love KK so much, is because she just understands how to position herself to be able to catch the ball and just be able to like get those easy baskets, especially when you have a Tania Lasson who's going to drive, a Sarah Bajetti who's going to drive, and Amaria Gordon who's going to drive. You know, KK just being in that right spot at the right time, especially when those guards are attacking and they're going to draw two to three players. So now that leaves KK open, which I'll be real. If you ask me, the defense is stupid for doing that, because they're going to dump the ball to KK every single time and you don't have anybody to recover. But KK, you know, KK made some huge plays, you know, down the stretch of the game, you know, getting some easy layups and, of course, getting a bucket. And then it leads to the infamous Clemson ended up calling a timeout that they didn't have. And that's what cost them the game. That's pretty much what cost them the game. They ended up getting a rebound, I believe. I want to say Sarah Bajetti ended up missing a corner three-pointer around his play. And Clemson gets the rebound. And then they call a timeout that they didn't have. So with that being said, we get free throws. Sarah Bajetti goes to the line, misses the first free throw, gathers herself, knocks down a second one, boom. That was pretty much the end of the game there. Then, of course, Clemson ended up missing a bucket as well. Down the stretch, KK gets the rebound. KK goes to the line, knocks down two free throws with 0.1 seconds to go. Boom. Florida State wins 82-79. That was a nice summary that I gave. I'm so proud of myself being able to do that. But that was a big win for them. Especially in moments where it looked like they could have lost that game, because they were, like I said, they were down double digits. So for them to be able to climb back, being able to finish that game and not only win that game, but finding a way to win that game without Tania Lasson being on the floor was just super impressive. So that's why, you know, you gotta give credit to this team, man. That's why I keep saying this is not a team you want to see in March. This ain't a team you want to see in March, man. You know, don't let the top 25 list fool you. Now I'm not trying to diss anybody in the top 25, but there's a lot of great teams. Every team that's in the top 25, they are deserving to be there. However, Florida State was there at one point. You know, they end up going on like a little losing streak to, you know, to knock them out of the top 25. But this is still a team that's a contender, if you ask me personally. Well, do they have what it takes to win a national title at this point? I don't believe so. But, you know, they could definitely make a deep run, in the tournament. But let's look at the ACC tournament. So they're going to Greensboro later on this week. They clinched the sixth seed, so they do have a single bye. So they'll either play Wake Forest or Virginia, whoever comes out of that first round matchup. If they get Wake Forest, we need that work. We need that. This is the team that Florida State lost to last year, and they have potential to win that game. But give credit to Wake Forest. They went crazy in the third quarter. I remember they went crazy in the third quarter. Then that momentum just kept going in the fourth quarter, you know, as far as them winning the game. So if they do get Wake Forest, that's gonna be on the back of their mind, especially with the fact that Tania Lasson didn't play, because Tania missed the ACC tournament and she missed March Madness due to an injury. So they want, if I'm Florida State, if I'm Brooke Wyckoff, I'm allowing them to know, like, hey, this is the team that knocked us out of the ACC tournament last year. So if we do face them again, we need to get that revenge. Like, that needs to be in the back of our mind, is revenge. I know it's been a year since that happened, but hey. And on top of that, you know, we've beaten Wake Forest twice already this season. In one of the games, Tania dropped 30, which was 15 in the fourth quarter of that matchup. So we already know what it takes to beat this Wake Forest team. But as always, you know, the ACC tournament is a totally different environment, and teams are going to adjust, and teams are going to figure out ways that they can be better versions of themselves from what they were in the regular season. But we could also play Virginia. Virginia beat us on January 21st. They came to the Tucker Center, took care of business. They shot the ball extremely well in that matchup. They shot 53% from the field in that matchup and 47% from the three-point line. Kamora Johnson shined. by far the best player on the floor. And one of the, I don't know if I want to say she's the most underrated player in the ACC, but I think because Virginia hasn't really been a true contender, I feel like a lot of people overlook her. And then on top of that, I mean, there's also other great scorers in the ACC as well, but Kamora Johnson definitely needs to be in that conversation. And she had 35 in that matchup, and she just absolutely torched Florida State both inside and out, you know, being able to be a spot-up shooter, being able to create her own shot in the mid-range. It was just a spectacular all-around showing from Kamora Johnson in that game. So if you're Florida State and you got to face this team again now in the ACC tournament, you got to find a way to adjust. You got to find a way to close out on those shooters. And that's why I feel like in this situation, Brooke could easily run more zone covers, because that's the thing about this team is that when, like, they don't run a lot of zone, but when they do, it's super effective and they're able to get stops. I don't know why Brooke doesn't run a lot of zone. That's something that I would personally want to ask her, because I know that this team is really versatile on defense, especially having KK Timpson in the middle. And KK has shown that versatility, just being able to guard 1 through 5 and just be able to step out beyond the paint and be able to guard perimeter players. So I understand the versatility, but I feel like against Virginia, I'm not saying that they need to run some zone throughout the entire game, but there could be some certain stretches where Virginia may have some momentum from beyond the three-point line, and now we got to figure out a way to slow that down. So, you know, that's something to just keep in mind. But I'm looking forward to the ACC tournament, you know, and I love the fact that they got a single bye, and it gives them an opportunity to get a few days, you know, figure out ways to adjust. Because like I said, you know, even though they got the win against Clemson, they could easily find a way to make those adjustments necessary, because they definitely need it. And then just get ready for whoever we got to play Thursday. So make sure to tune in. That's going to be a 7 Eastern time Thursday night. Make sure to tune in, man, because that's going to be a fun matchup. Wherever they play, whether it's Wake Forest or Virginia, I hope that we come out on top of that matchup, because if we do, we got to play Syracuse next. And I want them to play Syracuse. I want them to play Syracuse so bad, because they ended up losing that game in Syracuse, New York. They had an 18-point lead. They blew that lead. Give credit to De'Asia Fair. She is just a spectacular all-around talent, and she is somebody who deserves her flowers. She is one of the best scorers in the country by far. I think she's ranked in the top 5 in most points scored in college basketball history, and it's not even getting talked about a lot, because we understand that Caitlin Clark just broke Pete Maravich's record for most points scored at the collegiate level, which, by the way, you know, congrats to Caitlin Clark. Caitlin Clark is a spectacular all-around talent, and I cannot wait to see how she's going to excel at the next level. However, De'Asia Fair is up there in that conversation as well. But back to the game itself, you know, if we do play Syracuse in the next round, that's going to be a dog fight. And I need Sarah Bajetti to guard De'Asia Fair all 40 minutes. Sarah Bajetti is the best perimeter defender, and she's going to bring the best in that matchup. And she's going to really challenge De'Asia Fair to really find open shots and just to really get comfortable on offense. So I would love to see that. And I mean, you could possibly switch, you know, having Bajetti and Tanaya guard her, because I mean, Tanaya is a really good defender as well. Not as good as Sarah Bajetti, but you know, but you could switch on and off, you know. I mean, I guess, you know, depending on certain lineups. But overall, I guess you guys can just hear the excitement out of me. I'm ready for this ACC tournament. I want it to happen. I know that Florida State came up short last year, but I do believe that they can make some noise heading into this tournament this year. So make sure to be tuned for Thursday as we wait on the results of who comes out of that matchup between Wake Forest and Virginia. All right, before we get out of here, we got a few more topics to discuss. I want to talk about a high school player who just recently got recruited by Florida State. And if I pronounce her name wrong, please, I apologize in advance. I just got this news, so I didn't get a chance to actually hear how to pronounce her name. So I just want to let that be known in advance. And if I get it wrong, please let me know, and I will make sure to correct myself next time. Madeline Mignery, I want to say that's what it is. High school player out of Florida. Just recently got offered by Florida State. She tweeted out herself, after a great conversation with Coach Brooke, I am truly blessed to receive an offer from Florida State University. Thank you to the entire coaching staff for believing in me. Go Noles. Now, I haven't had a chance to actually see her play. I really want to watch some film on her. So if anybody knows a way that I can watch some of her high school highlights or anything, please let me know. I know that she's a freshman. She's coming out of the class of 2027. So she's got some years to go. And she has a lot of time to make a decision on her own. She also got recruited by Miami, I want to say she took an unofficial visit to Ole Miss, and I think there's a few other schools as well that's on the table. But, you know, this might just be me being biased, but Maddie, come to Tallahassee. You're already a Florida native. Come to the Panhandle. It's a really dope place to be at. I know that it can get cold during the winter times, but during the summer times, it's pretty nice here as well. Playing for Coach Brooke, one thing that Coach Brooke has proven to me and to many others is that she can help players excel at, like, just being able to excel on the floor, on and off the floor, actually. So I think that Florida State could be a good program for her if she decides to want to be a Seminole. But at the end of the day, you know, it is her decision, and she has a lot more time to make a decision, and she's going to get a lot more offers as well. Like I said, she's going to be in the class of 2027. She's a freshman in high school right now, so there's going to be a lot of time, you know, to make a decision. So my advice would be definitely take your time, weigh out your options, and if you decide to become a Florida State Seminole, we'll welcome you with open arms. And last but not least, we have to end this episode with our segment, Noel as a Pro, where I highlight a lot of former Florida State basketball players who are shining at the next level or may have gotten a new opportunity. And today we got to talk about Raekwon Gray, who just signed a two-way deal with the San Antonio Spurs and Austin Spurs. First and foremost, shout out to Raekwon Gray. Played 4 seasons at Florida State, well, technically 3 seasons. He redshirted his freshman year and then ended up playing, you know, another 3 seasons. Played a big role, you know, during those 2019-2020 seasons when Florida State was one of the top contenders in the country. Was selected 59th pick in the 2021 draft. And, you know, he's been trying to find his footing in the NBA. He's only played one NBA game technically, and he spent most of his time with the Long Island Nets and you know, definitely the Austin Spurs as well. So this could be a huge opportunity for Raekwon. You know, if you've watched him in the past and if you've watched him recently in the G League, he's still the same guy. Super versatile, tremendous size. You know, whenever he's putting the ball on the floor, nobody can defend him. He's really great defensively. You know, he can guard multiple positions. On top of that, he's a really good passer. Shows the ability to space the floor, being able to attack the basket, you know, with that relentlessness and, you know, just being able to finish inside. So Raekwon is still the versatile player that, even if you haven't been in tune with him at the pros, he's still that same guy that he was at Florida State, and he's only elevated. So I'm really happy that he got this opportunity to play with the Spurs. You know, obviously the Spurs, they're a rebuilding team. So, you know, obviously, you know, it wouldn't hurt to put in new bodies out there, you know, just be able to see what they have. And on top of that, you get to be in the same locker room, in the same practice as the legendary head coach Greg Popovich, who won 5 championships with their organization, led the likes of Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili, Kawhi Leonard, David Robinson, and the list just goes on and on and on. And on top of that, you get to reunite with your former teammate Devin Vassell, who was continuing to excel at the NBA level with that team. So this could be a really good opportunity for Raekwon Gray, and I'm really excited to see, you know, where his journey could take him, you know. And I hope that, you know, if he does get that NBA opportunity to be able to play on the floor, I hope that he's able to really shine and just be able to excel, you know, and just be able to show his best. So I'm rooting for Raekwon. Like I said, you know, he was one of my personal favorites when I watched him at Florida State years ago, and he's only gotten better, in my opinion, from then on out, man. So that's going to wrap up this episode. Once again, thank you guys for always listening in. Make sure to like, comment, subscribe. Make sure to give however many reviews. If you want to get 5-star, I'm not gonna complain, because I feel like, you know, this show is deserving of 5 stars. Make sure to just be in tune. You know, I got a lot of great things coming with this podcast. I have a very special guest coming on next episode, so make sure to be in tune with that. Make sure to follow me on X at Nick Andre ATR, and you will see all types of Florida State content, and then of course other content, basketball related stuff as well. So once again, thank you guys for listening in, and I hope you guys have a great rest of your day.